Trump's chaos will do real damage to Florida.
We serve a completely different type of student than the state university does.
All that funding cut overnight in one day. Who would have ever thought that we would be that country?
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. HR Florida State Council, affiliate of the Society of Human Resource Management, advocating for the workplace on behalf of 16,000 human resource professionals and 6,300 Florida employers. HR Florida State Council. More at hrflorida.org.
This is Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Among today's Capitol action, a series of tornado warnings made weather alerts buzz throughout the region around midday. Severe thunderstorms moved through the Tallahassee area, and there were unconfirmed reports of at least two tornadoes touching down in mostly unpopulated areas to the west and northeast of the downtown. No casualties or major storm damage reported as this podcast went online. Florida lawmakers are weighing the potential impact of President Donald Trump's recent tariffs on imported goods. Adrian Andrews report that legislators on both sides of the aisle believe the tariffs could impact their budget here in Florida.
President Donald Trump held a press conference earlier this month when he signed an executive order putting the tariffs in place.
In a few moments, I will sign a historic executive order instituting reciprocal tariffs on countries throughout the world. Reciprocal, that means they do it to us and we do it to them.
Trump is putting new tariffs on imported goods from many countries throughout the globe. He says the plan will protect American jobs and boost the economy. However, House Minority Leader Frances Driscoll, who is on the Florida House Budgeting Committee this year, believes state residents won't see the benefits. She points to concerns that the tariffs could lead to a recession.
Today, we are seeing a global economic meltdown entirely driven by Donald Trump's tariffs. His chaos has, at least temporarily, broken the world's economy.
Driscoll says the Trump administration's actions will likely impact how Florida's lawmakers craft the state's budget.
Here in Tallahassee, we're in the process of writing our budget for the next fiscal year, and this economic chaos means we cannot plan for our state's future. These failing markets and falling markets in Asia and Europe are not abstract. They hurt us here at home.
Republican Senate President Ben Albritton also says he expects the impact of the tariffs to play a role in the final budget outcome.
We're trying to understand all of these moving parts that are hovering around the economy. So are we contemplating losing revenues or having, you know, fiscal challenges going forward? 100% yes.
The stock market dipped after the tariffs were announced, and economists are projecting they could reduce consumer spending and increase costs if they remain long term. That could impact Florida's budget by decreasing tax revenue while increasing costs. I'm Adrian Andrews.
Private college and university leaders are worried about potential cuts in the state Effective Access to Student Education, or EASE, program, which provides grants to students. The voucher, which amounts to $3,500, is given to Florida undergraduate students at private colleges. Under the proposed House budget, which is set to be discussed by the full chamber this week, there would be several metrics that private universities would have to meet for their students to qualify for EASE. These include the overall cost of attendance, student retention rate, and graduation rate. Bob Boyd, president of the Independent Colleges and Universities of Florida Association, says private schools shouldn't be treated the same as traditional public universities. Boyd says the proposed cuts could impact more than 21,000 students at half of the state's 30 private colleges. The Senate and House on Wednesday of this week will take up their budget proposals and related bills. After passing their proposals, negotiations between the two chambers can formally start on a final spending plan for the fiscal year that will start July 1st. Protests happened throughout the country over the weekend, including several in Florida. The Hands Off rally combined efforts by local change groups such as Indivisible and Move On and some other organizations as well. There are about 150 state, regional, and local groups taking part in that. Nationwide participation ran into the millions, and Southwest Florida played a large part in the nationwide event, as we hear from Eileen Kelly.
This is what democracy looks like.
They came because of mounting fears. Their 401k retirement accounts are crashing. A rise in what they believe is fascism and an oligarchy motivated many. So did the cuts in education, in science and research, and the immediate cuts in aid to impoverished nations facing famine and disease. Collectively, their list of grievances was long. But individually, each were motivated enough to be part of what could be the largest single day of protest since Trump first came into power in 2016. Thousands upon thousands packed into open spaces like the Boston Commons or the Washington, D.C. Mall to air their grievances. They marched through the streets in old steel towns like Pittsburgh. And in Southwest Florida, a place known more for sunsets and beautiful beaches and not civil disobedience, an estimated 7,000 people like Clifton Childress took to busy intersections to exercise their freedom of speech.
We're not going to always agree, but we always need to have the right to free speech. The greatest Americans in history have been the ones who have stood up and said something. We have to exercise our right to free speech and protest, no matter what the political consequences.
Childress was among more than 2,000 people in Fort Myers. Locally, other events were held in Naples, Cape Coral, Port Charlotte, and Sarasota. In Fort Myers, we also met up with Nancy Terreri. She spent most of her working life as a civil servant, delivering services to poor people around the world. In the dozen countries where she worked, the United States, she said, wasn't just a lifeline, but a beacon of hope, a model nation to those still developing countries. Terreri was gobsmacked by the Trump administration's dismantling of USAID immediately after taking the oath of office.
Health centers that the U.S. government was helping support overseas, all that funding cut overnight in one day. Who would have ever thought that we would be that country? I mean, it's really shocking. It's sad. It's not something I ever imagined.
In Cape Coral, we caught up with Janine McNichol. Asked the main reason why she came out, she said it was, quote, to save our democracy all around, end quote.
I can't believe what he's done in 3 months. It's crazy. It's frightening. You know, most of these people probably are collecting Social Security, and that's a fear of losing that.
Regardless of where the demonstrators spoke their minds, all in all, they were met with signs of approval, car horns, and thumbs up from motorists. When the horn stopped blaring and the chants silenced, we spent a few minutes with Joan Crofton at the end of a hot Southwest Florida day in Naples. Crofton described her daily routine of waking in the morning and combing the internet for like-minded voices like historian Heather Cox Richardson or economist Robert Reich. But Saturday's hands-off rally changed things up a bit, and she's better for it, she says.
It's just deeply disturbing, and you have to do something besides sit behind your computer and write to like-minded people. At least come out and demonstrate on a very hot day. And it was encouraging. It made me feel better that there are other people in the world besides my own little closeted group of Naples residents that feel the same way.
I'm Eileen Kelly, with reporting from Cape Coral, Fort Myers, and Naples, provided by Amanda Inscore Whittemore and Dana Harpster.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Thanks also to Eileen Kelly with WGCU. Shows are available Monday through Friday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch all the latest happenings from the Capitol, and that show is also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes tonight from Evan Rossi, and I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. HR Florida State Council, affiliate of the Society of Human Resource Management, advocating for the workplace on behalf of 16,000 human resource professionals and 6,300 Florida employers. HR Florida State Council. More at hrflorida.org. Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee.